Good morning, everyone. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Nelson, for that excellent devotion, because that is the truth. Amen. I've been preaching a message around Wisconsin, and I've entitled it, Don't Panic. There is a reason. And basically, the message was about when Jesus said to his disciples, let's go to the other side. And we are all heading for the other side. And, of course, I'm not going to preach that message right now, but just the synopsis of it going right along with your thought. I mean, if there was any boat on that Lake of Galilee that was secure and safe, it was that one. It was a done deal, because the Word of God in flesh said, let's go to the other side. But those dear highfalutin apostles, as soon as the storm hit, they went into full panic mode. And then they started accusing the Lord. Don't you care about us? Jesus, after they woke him up, and this is just Putnam's rendition, but I just got a feeling that our Lord just went, what's wrong, guys? What's wrong? We're going to die. And Jesus, before he calmed the wind, before he ceased the waves from splashing, he said, where is your faith? Because that storm had nothing to do with them. Matter of fact, that whole scenario had nothing to do with disciples. The whole purpose was just getting to the other side, because there was a demoniac on the other side that needed the Lord Jesus Christ. And so many times, gentlemen, we go through trials and tests, and we don't understand. We go to full panic mode. Why doesn't God care about us? And yet, if we'll just hold on and don't panic, we'll find out that there is a reason on the other side of the storm. Amen. Thank you, Brother Nelson, for good devotion. Amen. Well, if you will stand with me, if you don't mind. I don't know, it's just in my genes. I came to the Lord in a time when everybody just stood for the reading of the Word of the Lord. Amen. And I've just kind of followed that. And the reason I do is because I remember our district superintendent from Ohio. I'm originally from Ohio. And Brother Stewart, Jim Stewart, was our district superintendent. And God gave him a vision one day in a service, in a night service. God opened up his spiritual eyes, and he literally saw angels all over the sanctuary. And he said, as soon as he opened the Bible to preach, those angels all stood to attention. I never forgot that. And, you know, it would just really be wondering, you know, isn't it amazing how that in services where we preach and that we teach, that we'll look over the congregation and all of a sudden we see Sister so-and-so, and all of a sudden she goes, you know, and then we see Brother so-and-so, all of a sudden he starts welling up with tears. Well, when Brother Stewart saw those angels, that happened when the angels went up and touched certain individuals. And then all of a sudden, they just started responding to the presence of God. I feel the Holy Ghost in here, folks. You guys are tremendous good leaders of the Lord, and amen. Can we just raise our hands and worship him here a minute? Father, we love you, Jesus, and we thank you, God. God, we just pray for your will here today. We pray that, God, that you are glorified and honored and exalted. We thank you for your mercies and grace, your kindness. And we ask, Jesus, that you would bless each and every one here. and that you, God, are glorified. And we thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, it's quite an honor to be here in Alaska and with Brother Parrish and your district officials and all of you. And I thank God for every one of you that endeavor to preach the gospel. Amen. That you preach the gospel. Not the Alaskan Daily Times or whatever it is, or Amen, or Time Magazine or whatever, but you preach the gospel in the good times or the bad. You preach the gospel. Amen. And we're very thankful for that. If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn to the book of Ecclesiastes, the 10th chapter. I'm taking this from the New Living Translation, this particular verse. I heard Brother Gleason not too long ago kind of described how kind of I felt. He says, you know, I go through all these translations, and I just like to pick out the one that best fits what I want to say. And that's what he uses. Well, I thought, you know, that's a pretty good idea. Verse 7 of the 10th chapter of Ecclesiastes says, I have seen servants riding like princes and princes walking like servants. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, King James Version, in the very first verse, Paul writes and says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy. Anyone in here besides me have received mercy? We faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Read verse 5 with me, will you? For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. I'd like to teach this morning in this session on a man of the cloth. A man of the cloth. Would you put your Bibles down and amen. Brother Wagner, would you pray today? Amen. Love you, God. I thank you, Jesus. And everybody said amen. You may be seated. I believe that all of us recognize that being in the ministry of Christ is truly the result of a specific calling from God. Amen? I know when we have candidates that meet the Wisconsin District Board, the very first thing I say to them is, your being here today, we are not going to challenge your calling. That is between you and God. It is our duty to determine whether or not you are prepared to receive license with the United Pentecostal Church International. It's a very private thing, but we need to be called of God. We understand that. And all of us we recognize are just mere men who by God's grace and mercy God has brought us out of the miry clay, and he has set our feet on a rock to stay. Every one of us here have different personalities. We all possess different and unique giftings. And we have all been called for a purpose in fulfilling God's will. We all carry many different and sundry titles. Reverend. That's my least favorite. I only know of one that's reverend. Pastor. Evangelist. Prophet. Apostle. Elder. Deacon. Bishop. And brother. And regardless of theological background, to the world, we are all lumped into one general category of being called clergy. Amen? My son, who is my pastor, in the early stages of his ministry, he was working, he was our youth pastor at the time, but he was working for an insurance company as an outside claims adjuster. And not too long ago, he told his congregation that every morning when he would arrive at the insurance office, there was one guy in the office that would always call out to him and state, the man of the cloth has arrived. You know, I've heard that phrase several times, but when my son referred to that, this has just been a couple weeks ago, it stirred my thinking. Matter of fact, in questioning, where did the phrase man of the cloth come from? So in my search for defining its meaning, I started examining first the word cloth. Cloth, we all know what cloth is thought to have been influenced by Clotho, which is one of the three fates, which are the three goddesses who determine the course of human life in classical mythology, all found in ancient Greek myths. Clotho was the one who spun the thread of life, quote unquote, which was then measured by Laxius and cut by Atropos. I thought you all were just dying to know that fact. But I discovered that the English word cloth does not directly derive from Clotho, but rather from a Germanic root of uncertain origin, and it was cloth or clothé in Old English. And the change of the vowel from A in clothé to the O, cloth, was believed to have been influenced by the name of the Greek fate, Clotho. So the next step in understanding the history of the term, I was looking back into the days when royalty and nobility provided livery. Everybody say livery. Namely, clothes for their servants. The term livery itself is derived from a word that we are very use almost daily, and that is delivery. These clothes were delivered to the servants by their masters. History tells us that this competition of providing livery was so intense amongst the nobility of England at that time for having splendidly dressed servants that King Henry VII prosecuted nobles who gave clothes, or what they called liveries, for those elegant costumes of servants. And then other liveries arose called clothes of calling. These were uniforms that became associated with certain professions. So the term man of the cloth was thus originally applied to mean any livery or any clothes that distinguished a profession. Then by the late 17th century, the meaning of livery had been restricted just to the clerical profession. A minister or clergymen who wore professional garb. And so it has come down to us today, for now the term can be applied to a minister, a clergyman of any Christian denomination, to be a man of the cloth. Brethren, with that understanding of that term, I sincerely come today desiring to be a man of the cloth. I didn't expect you to all shout amen. See, Paul writing his second letter to the church in Corinth, in the text that I read, but now I'm going to read it in the New Living Translation, in 2 Corinthians 4, and starting with 1, it says, "And so, since God in his mercy has given us this wonderful ministry, we never give up. We reject all shameful and underhanded methods. We do not try to trick anyone, and we do not distort the word of God. We tell the truth before God, and all who are honest know that. In the good news we preach, if the good news we preach is veiled from anyone, it is a sign that they are perishing. Satan, the god of this evil world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe, so they are unable to see the glorious light of the good news that is shining upon them. They don't understand the message we preach about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. We don't go around preaching ourselves or about ourselves. We preach Christ Jesus the Lord. And all we say about ourselves is that we are your servants because of what Jesus has done for us." Brethren, we are our master's servants. Paul wrote to the Philippian church in chapter 2 of in verse 6 in King James, he says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him," what? "The form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Folks, we know that Jesus Christ is our example for ministry. Our methods may change, but Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And though he is our master and Lord, the Bible surely and truly teaches us he humbled himself. We might look for a definition of humility. What does it mean to be humble? Is it a posture? Or is it an understanding that without God, you can do nothing? And though he is our master and Lord, he took on the form of a servant. Our master gave each of us, his servants, a livery. John 13:4 says, "He riseth from supper and laid aside his garments, and he took a towel and girded himself. And after that he poureth water into a basin, and he began to wash the disciples' feet." Now, folks, you picture this, and I know we've all preached about it, we talk about it, But the mighty God, robed in flesh, the creator of the universe, that created everything that we see or even can imagine, amen, and the stars also, and knelt down and literally washed his own creation's feet. And of course, he comes to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said, thou shalt never wash my feet, not mine. Jesus answered him and said, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter said, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus saith to him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet. In other words, if you're washed, the only thing you need washed is your feet, because it's your feet that deals with the dust and the grime of this world every day. But if you don't wash your feet, you're clean every whit. Ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and he had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? Question mark. Ye call me master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. Brethren, I've read a lot of scripture here, but I hope that we can see the analogy here. Our master has given us his livery. He has put within our hands and our hearts the spirit and a challenge of becoming a servant. And folks, servanthood is not the easiest thing to do in a world that we live in. Huh? Not when every place where you look, it's your number one. Have it your way. You deserve a break today. But you see, our livery, our cloth, if you please, is that of serving one another. It's that of serving one another, and it looks good on each of us, that cloth does. Through the love of God, serving should be our identifier as a minister of Christ. Amen. 510 verses of scripture are found with the word servant, and another 450 verses are found with the word servants. The instruments of our ministry identification, servitude is those instruments, and that instrument should be that of a towel and a bowl. Ever ready to help and serve each other. Did you read, oh, I know you know what it is because you're all preachers, but Jesus said, happy, happy are ye if you do these things. Turn to your neighbor and say, are you happy? Are you happy? Brother Nelson, he mentioned to us that, and Brother Parrish did as well, and I'll say amen. There's a lot of stuff that we go through. There's a lot of mental stuff that we go through. A lot of pressures today. I thank God for Brother Ingalls, right? Brother Ingalls just getting his license, just starting into this. Amen. But praise God. You know what? We need to help serve each other. We need to help one another. It's not a matter that my brother is, man, he's just having a fantastic revival, and I'm over here with my four and no more. Amen. And God, what's wrong with me? No, 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 my friend. We need to get a different perspective of this kingdom. Amen. That this isn't about what just happens in Anchorage or what just happens in Kenai or what just happens in Juneau, but this is God's church, regardless of where it is all around the world. We need to help one another. You need to pray for each other. I'm sorry, but we've got too many unhappy men in the ministry. We have too many that are struggling with their spiritual well-being, having their game face on. We all know how to do that, don't we? I mean, what's the common phrase? How you doing? Oh, great. Lying through our teeth. Hello? Unfulfilled. Feeling like they are failures. Unsuccessful. Compared to what? With little self-worth. Burdened with broken relationships, hurting marriages, and stress beyond the max in their life. Many times I believe that we have forgotten that we are to be men of the cloth. We are called to be servants. And that doesn't mean that we have to be poor or sullen, nor does it mean that we are in competition with each other. My first church, to this day, other than God, I have no idea, Brother Parrish, why the United Pentecostal Church allowed me to pastor my first church on foreign soil in Germany. You talk about a newbie. Military men, military church. I had never been in the military. How's that for a badge? Went to Stuttgart, West Germany, Brother Wagner. Took over from a good seasoned missionary, Brother Dale Starks. And our first service, I mean, now, and I'm not saying this to put myself up here, but when I went, AIM was only AIM. It didn't mean anything. There were no regulations to AIM. It was only an umbrella covering that you were part of the UPCI and going over there. We didn't get one dime from the organization. We went over there self-supporting. We were taking over a church. And of course, we felt that the ties of that church would be our support. We had 83, I believe it was, that first Sunday that we were there. And at the end of that year, out of those 83, there would be three left that didn't ETS or come back to the States. But Brother Nelson, when I am looking at the math and I'm thinking of this one's ETSing this year, this one's ETSing this year, this one's ETSing this year, And I thought I would be such a really good pastor. I took every one of the families that were leaving. I personally took their family to Frankfurt to being a good pastor. I was the one that watched them get on the plane. I was the one at the fence waving goodbye. And every family that left, my heart was going, and after about six families, I was depressed. All I can describe it, brethren, was like I was walking down the street and somebody took a manhole cover off the street and I climbed down the ladder into the sewer and for the next 9 months walked in the sewer. I didn't feel God. But you got to understand, when I got saved, I was kind of the guy that, bless God, I had to feel God to know that he was with me. Huh? I can remember at a house meeting, and I hope you don't mind this personal reference here today, but I have got to believe that some of you, maybe not the same circumstance, but some of you have been here. And so consequently, I was at a house meeting with our leadership. I felt so bad, Brother Churchill. I literally crawled, or I kind of shimmied myself, laying on my stomach underneath our coffee table. We were all praying. And I said, God, if you really are in this room, would you have at least one of these leaders put their hand on my back and start praying for me? It wasn't 5 seconds. I felt a hand on my back, and I thought, thank you, God. Oh, did all the feeling come back? No. But you know what? It was a sign from above that you can count on God's word when you can't indeed count on God's feeling. Then he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I was on the district board, traveling on a train during those 9 months, going to a board meeting, and the enemy said to me, this is after about 6 months into this, and the enemy said to me, what business do you have making any decisions the way you feel? And by that time, I'm going, you're right. What business am I doing here? Brother, I hate to admit this to you, but one Sunday morning I felt so low, I woke up. And when I woke up, I didn't want to get out of bed. And my wife came in and she said, honey, it's time to get up. We got to get to church. I said, honey, I don't want to go to church today. I'm sure there's not a pastor in here that ever felt like that. Thank God for a great wife, a great servant of God. She said, all right, if you're not getting up, then get up and we're going to start packing. We're going back to the States. Well, one thing I'm not is a quitter. And I decided, all right, amen. I would walk to the podium. I wouldn't feel anything. And I'd get behind that pulpit, and then all of a sudden, I'd preach my heart out. As soon as I'd walk from that platform, it was like, I was carrying the world. And I began to think that I was just a failure. Who am I? Stop and think about it. Who are you? What did we ever do to deserve where we're at right now? See, being formed into a servant is not the easiest thing in the world for us. All of a sudden, one downtown service, it was like I walked up the ladder again, opened up another manhole cover, and walked out, and it was all over with. And I'm thinking, God, what was all those 9 months about? My daughter was convinced it was good because I lost 30 pounds during that time. And then I started thinking, what is being a success? What is success to God? I know what success is to our organization, at least on the mission field. How many did we baptize in Jesus' name? How many received the baptism of the Holy Ghost? What you could put down on a form and send in a report. I'm not against that, but that was considered the success. And I am really thinking and I'm contemplating this question, God, what is success in your eyes? Did you ever stop and think about that? Our visiting superintendent was with us that Sunday. It was a Monday morning. We were sitting at the table, hadn't showered or shaved yet. We were just talking, and he posed the question to me. He said, Brother Putnam, what is success in God's eyes? And I thought, wow. After our conversation, I get in the bathroom. I'm going to get ready for the day, and I, you know, showering and so forth. And now I'm standing before the mirror, and I'm shaving, and I'm looking at myself, but I'm thinking, God, what is success in your eyes? Not contemplating that I was going to hear from God while in the bathroom. But as God is my witness, with shaving cream all over my face, the Lord said, John, your success is not in the number that you baptize in my name. Your success is not in the number that I will fill with my spirit. But your success is in your own heart. And then he gave me a scripture. You'll find it in Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. What is required of thee, O man, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God? He said, that is your success. I tell you, brethren, I walked out of that bathroom a different man. And to this very day that we do justly with people. I'm your brother and you're my brother. We need one another. We're to serve one another. I want to be happy in this thing. Because I see a lot of people that aren't. I want to be willing to humble ourselves and to do what God has exampled of us to do. Brother G, I've asked Brother G, Brother G, would you come up here? Brethren,
sometimes, if we're not careful, when we all of a sudden receive some of these titles like pastor or minister or superintendent or presbyter, amen, or any of these things, amen, if we're not careful, my friend, amen, what God elevates can go to one's head and you can become
Brethren, in a symbolic way today, I want to do something I've never heard of before. While Brother Putnam washes Brother Agee's feet, I want you and I to become part of this humbling experience today. I want you to gather in around. Put your hand on Brother Putnam's shoulder today. Put your hand on Brother Agee's. We're partaking of this foot washing today, symbolically to humble ourselves before one another, before the Lord. God, make me what you want me to be. Make us what you want us to be, O God. Give us a right spirit, O Lord. Give us a right heart, God. Oh, God, you've made us what we are today. You've blessed our lives. We're nothing without you, God. Touch us, O God. Bless our brethren, Lord. Bless our brethren, Lord. Kolomo shatala mokoya tela mahaya tela. Yala moya dar mahandi siya
You may be seated, brethren. I say again, we need one another. There's not one of us in here that is an island. You might be on one, but we're not an island. Isolation is never the answer. We are to wash each other's feet. We need to help one another, encourage one another. We need to have a genuine, heartfelt love for each other that is outwardly shown in our actions toward one another. Solomon wrote, I have seen servants riding like princes and princes walking like servants. Revelation declares that we're to be kings and priests. Revelation 1 and 5 says, and from Jesus Christ, who is faithful, is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. It's time that we forget those things which are behind and press on. We need to forgive one another from our hearts and seek faith, hope, and love in everything that we put our hands to do. Brethren, I so desire to be a man of his cloth. Oh, Jesus. Peter, in his second epistle, chapter 1 and 1, says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. Notice which one he put first. A servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, moral excellence, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers. Everybody say partakers of the divine nature. What is the divine nature? Philippians 2 and 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. What a livery. What a cloth. What a ministry that is passed down to us to be men of his cloth. A ministry of servanthood. Would you lift up your hands one more time? Father, I pray, God, that you would speak to each of us, God. Hallelujah, God. Oh, God, let this district continue, dear God, to be one that is so united and so blessed. And let each and every man under the voice of my voice right now to be happy and to be content in you. Hallelujah, Jesus. And to realize that all things work together to those that are called of God, that love your purpose, and that, God, that your will be accomplished in them. We love you and thank you. Help every one of us, God, to be a man of your cloth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.